want you to turn with me to John chapter 3. John, the third chapter. And we want to look in verses 16 and 17. And I want to just minister a little bit on the love of God this morning and get us ready to receive from the Lord, just receive what He has for us, praise God, and then apply it in our lives. You know, it's important that when we have our children with us, that they experience the presence of God, that they see God in us and they hear God in us, and that our families around us see God in us and our workers see God in us. And the best way they can see God in us is to see us walking in love and practicing the things that God would have us to practice. In John chapter 3, verse 16, we have the great passage here where we read, and it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Notice that Jesus Christ came to this world to save us, not to condemn us. He came to deliver us, not to hold us in bondage. He came to liberate us, not bring us into religious rules that would cause us to once again just be in ritual. He came to save us. The word "save" there means to be saved from your sins, but it also means to be saved from sickness, disease. It means to be saved from mental hurt. It means to be saved from emotional scars. It means to be made whole and complete and set free by the hand and the power of God. And in 1 John chapter 4, we won't take time because you can read verses 7 down through the end of the chapter, down around verse 20, it ends up. But all through those verses, we find out that John 3:16 is an act of God's love. Because he tells us there in 1 John 4, and John writes both of these, he writes the gospel and the letter, and John tells us over there in 1 John 4 that God demonstrated His love to us by sending Jesus Christ. So John 3:16 is God's love in demonstration for you and me. And God's love comes to not condemn us. God's love comes to save us. God's love doesn't come to tell us, "Well, you sorry rascal, you deserve what you got." And God's love doesn't come and point out where we're at. It doesn't come and say, "Boy, you messed up now. What are you going to do?" No, God's love comes to set us free from what we've messed up. Amen? God doesn't come to give us a scolding and then maybe reach down and help us. God's love comes to us and says, "I see the mess you made. Come on, let me help you out. Let me give you forgiveness when nobody else will." See, God's love came to us in Romans 5 says, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly," and God commended His love towards us. So God sends His love to you and me in our worst moments. Isn't that right? So God loves me in my ugliest moment of my life. God loves me when nobody else does. God loves me when I'm messed up. God loves me when my life is a mess. God loves me when I haven't loved Him. And He comes to do something about my dilemma. He comes to save me. He comes to help me. He comes to deliver me, praise God. See, the offering of God is this. It's not so much what you can do for Him, but it's what can He do for you. That's the love of God. Amen. In fact, in 1 John 4 and verse 19, it says, "We love God because He first loved us." You know what that means? God loved you so much, you finally got back in love with Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of us took us a little while to get back in love with God. Amen. He just kept loving us through all kinds of crazy stuff. Amen. But one day we finally woke up and realized, if God loves me this much, maybe I ought to turn and love Him and give Him my life and surrender my life to Him. And so we begin to see God's love demonstrated to us. And we celebrate that love and we're thankful for that love. But now look over in the 13th chapter of John. The Lord Jesus is getting ready to actually present Himself on the cross and bear our sins and become the redemptive sacrifice. And Jesus is about to become the curse of the law for you and me. So he gets with the disciples and He begins to speak to them. In fact, they have their communion supper. Then He washes the disciples' feet and He ministers to them and talks to them about, being a servant. And He's not just washing their feet just to do something that night. He's showing them that the greatest is going to learn how to serve. And you can't think of yourself more highly than everybody else. And you have to sometimes humble yourself and take a lower estimation of yourself than being full of pride and thinking, "I've got this so I can be exalted." Amen? And then He turns to the disciples in verse 34 and He says, "A new commandment I give to you." This is a new commandment. This is not an old one. This is a new one. What's the new part? That you love one another. Well, the Old Testament, I mean, you can find that in the Old Testament. That's not new. How's that a new commandment, that you love one another? He doesn't stop there. That you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I'm giving you a new commandment, but with this new commandment, he's also opening up a greater door for us. He's telling us that we can now love with the God kind of love. Did you hear me? He said, I want you to love each other as I have loved you. In other words, the new commandment is this. I want you to elevate your love from a natural love, from a human love, up to a God kind of love. I want you to learn how to love like I do. Amen? And I'm commanding you to learn this and apply it in your life and to practice it in your life. Then he tells you why in verse 35. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. In other words, he's saying you're not going to be known as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ by how you dress. You're not going to be known as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ by exactly what church you go to. You're not going to be, known as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ by carrying a Bible around with you. Some of the meanest people I've ever known carry a Bible, dress well, and go to church. Amen? Come on now. But no, what does he say? How are they going to know you're a disciple? What is a disciple? See, a lot of times we don't understand what a disciple is. A disciple is a follower of the teachings of their Lord. They're practicing the word. They're a learner and a follower of the teachings of their master. Amen? In other words, a disciple is not just in word only, but a disciple has actions. And Jesus says, here's the action that I need you to get a hold of. I need you to love as I have loved. And when people see you acting in love like I did, they'll know that you've been with me. They'll know that you're my disciples because I have given you this commandment. They'll see me in you. Amen? So what is he saying here? He's saying you need to come to a place where you stop living just with a human love and a natural love, and you need to let God pour his love in your heart. And we can because Romans 5:5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Amen? So when I get born again, guess what? God places his ability to love in me. Now, why is it so important that I learn to walk in love to my wife, to my children, to my family, to my friends, to fellow workers, to the person down the street that I don't naturally like? Why do I need to elevate my love up to God's love and live in this new commandment, not the old commandment of just love, but the new commandment of loving with a God kind of love? Because if I operate in natural love picks and chooses who is going to love. And natural love determines how long it's going to love. I love you till the second time you do that. Amen? That's natural love. Oh, I just love them. They messed up. Well, I still love them. They messed up again. I'm done with them now. I mean, tell you what. Okay? But God loved us when we were unlovable. God kept on loving us even when we were messing up. Are you hearing me? So God says, I want people to see that you have a love that goes beyond feelings, a love that goes beyond emotions, a love that goes beyond even fair. I want people to see that you apply love in everything and you make love the foundation of everything you're going to operate in. Amen? In fact, in Galatians 5, Paul said over there, the faith works through love. In other words, if I don't get my love walk going, my faith isn't going to work. Amen. Love forgives and love doesn't hold grudges. And love, 1 Corinthians 13 says, and so, I can't even get my prayers to work because in Mark 11, 24, Jesus said, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive and you'll have it. But then he went on and said, and when you stand praying, if you have aught against somebody, forgive them. Amen. So if I'm not walking in love, my faith isn't going to work. My confession isn't going to do much. And my prayers are going to be held in bondage. In fact, if I'm not walking in love with my wife, 1 Peter 3 says that if I don't dwell with her according to understanding and wisdom and knowledge and walk in love with her, it'll hinder my prayers and my home won't be blessed. Amen. So God tells us that when we start walking in love, people know you have to be a Christian because you wouldn't still be in love if you weren't a Christian. Amen. You still wouldn't be praying for me if you weren't a Christian. If you wasn't somebody that was following Jesus, you would have already hit me in the head with a 2x4. Amen. Hallelujah. But you continue to trust, you continue to hope, you continue to pray, you continue to believe, you continue to be nice, amen, and control your emotions and feelings and say, no, I'm going to love. Even if they don't love me, I'm going to do the right thing. Love does the right thing. 1 John chapter 3, John said over there, he says, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know what that means? He says, you got to apply some actions to your love. You got to do these things. That's just like the Lord Jesus, whenever he took and girded himself and washed the disciples' feet. What was he doing? He was demonstrating a love. Even though he's Lord and King, he was saying that true love never exalts. I don't care what your position is. You're not there to lord it over somebody or to show them how great you are, but you're there to serve them and love them and help them to come to another level. Amen? And so the Lord is showing us here that if we're truly going to walk in love, we're going to let that love be demonstrated through us in how we treat people. And when we get done in that situation, they ought to be elevated to a higher level. In other words, they may have not seemed to change, but you touch their heart because they know that they just encountered somebody that truly walks in God's love. That must be a real Christian. And the world's looking for real Christians. And Jesus said, they'll know that you're my disciples by how you walk in love. How you treat people, how you deal with things, how you operate in it. Amen? Praise God. Now, how am I going to get victory in this area? Well, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, the Amplified over here says it this way. Therefore, be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father. That's pretty good, isn't it? Be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example. That's why you need to read the Bible. Hallelujah. See, if you want to know how God loves, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen? Find out through him. Why? Because Hebrews 1 says that Jesus was God's expression to us. In other words, Jesus was God speaking to us and delivering his message to us. And so if I want to see somebody walking in love, you know, the Lord Jesus, and you know, to walk in love doesn't mean that you don't stand up to people sometimes. The Lord Jesus stood up to people. Amen? When the Pharisees and all these different ones and they started doing it, the Lord told them, you're hypocrites. I mean, you know, but apparently he must have been doing that in a foundation of love because the Bible says he never sinned. So does that mean that if I'm walking in love and you're in error, that I could actually come and talk to you and tell you the truth? Absolutely. Ephesians chapter 4 says that by speaking the truth in love, we grow up in the things of God. In other words, when I learn to walk in love, my truth doesn't hurt you. My truth helps you. And I'm not there telling you the truth so that I can get it over you because I got to remember, I'm supposed to be there cleaning your feet, amen? I'm supposed to be there helping you get through this. So therefore, if I'm going to speak truth to you, then I need to be speaking truth in love because I'm concerned that you're not going to come through this well if I don't help you. Amen? So I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to copy God. I'm going to follow his examples, and I'm going to do what he says to do. So I'm going to have to spend time with God. In fact, in Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, in the Message, listen to what it says over here, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. He says, watch what God does, and then you do it. Boy, that's deep, isn't it? Hallelujah. I know I'm preaching this real deep theological message this morning, but stay with me. You can get it. Hallelujah. Once again, watch what God does, then you do it. That's pretty good, isn't it? Amen. Simply. He says, watch what God does, then you do it, like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Notice that. In other words, God will show you the proper way on how to handle that situation and bring you out of that thing victorious. Look what he says in verse 2. Mostly what God does is love you. Amen. Aren't you glad? Anybody here this week glad that God mostly loves you? In other words, he spends most of his time loving you. Because if he didn't, he'd be spending his time whacking you. Amen? Huh? Come on. Look what he says. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. See, the God kind of love is not selfish, it's not cautious, but it's extravagant, and it's not what can I get out of this, it's what can I do to help you. How can I help you through this? And you see, we need to bring this kind of love into our homes. Listen, what happens when a husband loves his wife like that? He wants her to be lifted up. He wants her to be strong. He wants her to walk in victory. He wants her to feel good about herself. He speaks good things into her. And his motive is because he loves her so much, he wants to help her to love herself. What happens to the husband whenever the wife begins to take time and notice him, like the Bible says in Ephesians 5, and begins to respect him and love him and not point out all of his flaws, but point out his strengths and thank him for what he does? All of a sudden, there's a unity that comes in that home that the devil can't steal. What happens when mom and dad, or you know, and they begin to tell their kids that you can do anything, you can be anything, you can accomplish anything, and they begin to love them, and they begin to show more love than they do correction, which sometimes I know is tough, but praise God, amen. But even in the midst of correction, you're doing it because you love them, and you let them know you do. And it's not done out of anger. It's not done out of frustration. It's not done out of, I've had all I can have with you. I'm going to choke you and tell your mother that you did it to yourself. And I saved you. No. You love them and you take care of them. And even in the midst of them being a mess, love is the motivation of your decisions on how you deal with it. And they begin to understand that mom and dad loves me, and there's a covering there. And you lift them up, and they begin to see how God would love them and how God would care for them as they give their lives to him. Praise the Lord. See, we had that love. What happens, kids, if instead of all the time you following what you see on the phone or you follow what you see at school, and all of a sudden you start loving your mom and dad and honoring them? And doing it the first time, not the fifth time, they told you. And you started doing it because you love them and you want them to be proud of you. And then, mom and dad, when they do what you told them to do, you stop and thank them for it. And compliment them and tell them that they're doing a great job. See, that's the love. And that's what God's wanting to bring in the home. What about friendships? You know, friendships, a lot of times we get familiar with each other, and friendships are the worst things in the world sometimes. Because instead of letting love be what determines the friendship, we get familiar with each other and comfortable with each other, and all we're doing is dumping on each other all the time and fussing each other all the time and telling about all the problems all the time. Well, I'm glad we have a friend that we can sometimes share. But you know, sometimes as a friend, and you see a friend come, you go, oh God, here comes old potty mouth, blast, you know, blab, blab, you know. How different would it be if they came up and said, hey, everything's great. How you doing? Jesus, Lord. My God, we'd have to, you know, they'd be slain in the spirit. Pow. You know, raise them up. And what happens if we go to the job site and we work with a good attitude, even though we got the job we don't like, and we do it as unto the Lord, not as unto men, because that's what love does. All of a sudden, our testimony and our witness begins to have power in it, and it becomes to be something that people want to listen to, because they're not just hearing you talk about Jesus, they're seeing you live for Jesus. See, we can't live for the Lord Jesus Christ and not walk in love. We can't have a Christian home if we're not walking in love. And God says that that love is available to us. And Romans 5 says that in verse 5, I've already said, it says the love of God is poured in your heart by the Holy Spirit. In other words, he's saying this. He's saying, if you want to stay full of love, there's two things. 1 John 2:5 says, the love of God is perfected when we keep his word. In other words, when I get in God's word and love according to his word, that love begins to be developed in me. And then when I get full of the Holy Ghost and I begin to pray in the Spirit, that love is developed in me. Because the Holy Spirit works through the word and causes me to be able to love whenever I don't feel like loving. Amen? In fact, over in Jude 20 and 21, he says this, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And the next verse says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Isn't that amazing? In other words, if you find yourself wanting to cuss and fuss, you know what you should do? Pray in the Spirit and worship God for a while. And let the Holy Spirit just come on you and begin to change that anger and frustration and hatred into love and kindness. And God, I thank you for giving me a direction here and helping me to come out of this thing, praise God. I'm not going to let my flesh and the world determine how I'm going to act. I'm going to allow God's love to dictate me, my actions and my words and my deeds, because Jesus, you're my Lord, and I want people to see you in me through this situation. Amen? How many of you know it takes a little work to do that? Huh? That's why he said, watch what God does. See what God does. Imitate God. Practice it, praise the Lord. And do it. And here's the thing. You know the great thing about love is this. He said there in the scripture, we said that God doesn't do anything as much as he does love us. You know what God's going to do as a parent, a father to you and me? When we decide we're going to walk in this love and bring it in our home, bring in our families, bring in our job, bring it with our friends, bring it with our kids, bring it with our grandkids, whatever. You know what God does when he sees us doing this and we struggle? God doesn't come in and say, I'm going to smash you like a bug. Look what you just did. I'm going to nail you. No, God comes in and he says this. You messed up, but don't stay messed up. Get up. Go ask him to forgive you. Straighten it out, do the right thing, and I'll help you. And God loves us. God loves us. Because you see, love isn't all the time telling people what you think or what to do. Sometimes love is going to them when you know you messed up and asking them to forgive you. Amen. And you do that, and as you do that, it keeps you humble, it keeps you in the love of God, and it keeps you walking in the grace and the goodness of God. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather be under God's covering than out from under God's covering. Amen? Walking in his love is the safe place that we all need to be. Praise God. Now look over here in Mark's gospel, and let's look in Mark chapter 12. Just a couple of things here the Lord Jesus says. And let's drop down here to verse 28. And the Bible says Jesus has been, you know, he's been dealing with Pharisees and Sadducees and all these different C's. And so finally, you know, here comes a scribe in verse 28, and it says, and then one of the scribes, having heard him reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Now, that's a good question. Lord, if I was going to put my priorities in this, what would be the first thing that should be a priority in my life? What's the first thing with you? What are your priorities? What are your lists? 1, 2, 3 in my life. If I'm going to prioritize my walk with God, what is the priorities here? That's what this guy is asking. And so the Lord's going to answer. Verse 29. Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The very first thing you got to do if you're going to walk in love and walk in God's love is this. You have to recognize that Jesus is Lord and there is no other. There's no other. Jesus is Lord. And if Jesus is Lord and there is no other, then that means you're not Lord. Amen. That means you have to submit to him, praise God. That means that he's the head and you get to submit to him and follow what he wants to do. So the Lord our God, he is one Lord, praise God. And so he's Lord, and so I'm going to surrender to him. Okay, Lord, I acknowledge you as Lord. I surrender my life to you. You show me what to do. What's the next thing, Lord? Verse 30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Woo, glory to God. Once I make Jesus Lord, what am I supposed to do? Fall in love with him and grow in love with him. Amen. I want to ask you a question right now. Don't raise your hand. Don't go, oh, me. Just be quiet about it, and nobody will know. But listen, here's the question. Are you in love with Jesus this morning? Are you, I mean, not just, oh, yeah, that's the right answer is yes. Oh, yeah, I am. I mean, are you really, 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 really head over heels, can't live without him, in love with Jesus? That's where we're supposed to be. Amen. That's the first commandment. That's what he says. In fact, the Amplified Bible reads verse 30 and says this, and you shall love the Lord your God out of and with your whole heart, and out of and with all your soul, your life, and out of and with all your mind, with your faculty of thought and your moral understanding, and out of all and with all your strength. This is the first and principal commandment. In other words, you know, today we as believers, before we receive this Lord's table, we ask ourselves, is Jesus Lord and head of my life? No other. No other. Is he my Lord? And as my Lord, am I deeply in love with Jesus? Am I deeply in love with Jesus? That doesn't mean that you don't have struggles and that you have to deal with things. Listen, in a few months, Bonnie and I will celebrate our 44th year of marriage. 44 years. I'm deeply in love with her. I just don't love her as my wife. I'm deeply in love with her. I've been that in love with her ever since we got together. Now, does that mean that we can just go about our business and never deal with it? No. I stay in love with her. And she stays in love with me. Are you listening to me? We have to do the right thing. We have to work at it. We have to come together and make the decision that we're going to be in love with each other, stay in love with each other, and walk in love with each other. Amen? And that's the same thing it is with God. When you come to the Lord, you make Jesus Lord of your life. And then you surrender yourself completely and totally to Him. And then you know what you do? You just fall madly, deeply, out of your mind in love with Him. And I'm concerned as to where the church is failing right now. In fact, John said, love not the world nor the things that are in the world, because if you love the world, the love of God isn't in you. So he says, love God. And so today, this communion table is a love feast between Jesus and his people. God does nothing as much as he loves us. You know what God is? God doesn't just love you. God is deeply, passionately, over the top, in love with you today. Nobody loves you like God loves you. He's so in love with you today. He's there. Jesus is praying for you right now. He's in love with you. Jesus is listening. He's your high priest. He's watching over you. He's covering you. He's there for you. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus is there. He's ready to help you in every area of your life. He's there to forgive you when you make a mistake because he loves you. He's there to help you through your struggle when everybody leaves you because he said he would always love you no matter what's going on. And so what the Lord say, this scribe is come to the Lord in a very sincere way. And he said, I can see how you're answering. He says, what's the first commandment? He says, number one, the Lord God is one Lord. You got to make him Lord of your life. No, money's not your God. Your business is not your God. The world's not your God. Jesus is your God. Amen? Amen. Only one Lord. And then number two, you got to just fall head over heels in love with him. And then to stay in love, you got to do what love takes. In other words, you have to work at it. How many couples found out if you stop saying, I love you, honey, after about 4 weeks, you go, ooh, honey. Amen. Your kids get a little older when they're young. Oh, mommy, just love daddy, just love you. And you just love him. And you know, they come in about 30 years old and you go, hey. I know you can't run over and hug on kids and all that stuff. They'll say, oh, God, Dad, come on. And then they'll go out and go, I love my dad. He's so cool. Because really, see, we all want that love. But you have to work at it. Husband and wife has to tell each other they love each other on a daily basis or it grows cold. But the more you tell it, the more it gets. The more you talk to your family, the more you tell your friends, the more you do so, the more you practice love, the greater love grows and the stronger it gets and the better it gets. And that's the same thing with the Lord. The more we love him, the more we worship him, the more we serve him, the more we read his word, the more we're in church, the more that love grows. Amen? And that doesn't go for him only, it grows for others. Verse 31, the third thing Jesus says, and the second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is another commandment greater than these. So one of the three things the Lord says that we're supposed to do to take this up, he says, number one, make Jesus Lord of your life. There's no other. Number two, fall in love with him. I mean, just walk around in love with God. And then number three, let that love that you have for God flow out of you to others and let it bring care and concern to their lives. And you know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13? He said, if you'll love like that, that kind of love never fails. It'll never fail. It'll get you through to the other side. Amen? Why? Because in Proverbs 10:12, the Bible says that hatred stirs up strife, but love covers a multitude of sins. Isn't that cool? And then, in fact, the Good News Bible says hate stirs up trouble, but love forgives all offenses. In other words, if I'm going to walk in love, I'm going to walk in a position where I'm going to forgive. I'm going to be there to help. I'm not going to be there to condemn. I'm not going to be there to hurt. I'm going to be there to bring peace into that situation. Amen? And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk in such love that I'm going to refuse to be offended by what you call me. I'm going to refuse to get offended by your actions back toward me. I don't care if you're rude, unmannerly. I don't care if you call me names. I'm just going to pray for you and love you because I'm not going to let what's hurting you hurt me. Because there's protection in love. And I'm going to walk in love because, you see, there's going to come a place where you're going to want to come out of that and you're going to remember who loved you when you were in it. And then I'm going to have the chance to pray with you and help you. Amen? Because love never fails. Doesn't say love doesn't, you know, always gets the answer right now, but love will get you the answer. So the key today is this. Answer these questions. Is Jesus my Lord? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You got to make Him your number one. He's Lord. He's Lord. Number two, are you in love with Him? I'm not talking about were you in love with Him. I'm talking about are you in love with Him? Amen? And number three, are you letting His love flow out of you to others? Because if you are, then you're doing what God said to do. And you're declaring His lordship and people are saying that you're His disciple. And your witness is going to become powerful. And people are going to want what you have because you have a relationship with God that they're looking for. Amen?